Amen and amen, folks. You turn your eyes upon Jesus, because Jesus is the only one that can save us from whatever we are facing, whatever troubles that's coming our way, whatever difficulties we are facing. Jesus is the one that we look up to. Amen. I am so glad to see y'all here again on another Friday night. And again, as always, it's time for our message, and I'm glad that you showed up. Y'all know my signature introduction, you know, like I always said, y'all could have been elsewhere, but you decided to come here. And for whatever reason, I hope that you do enjoy the message tonight, because again, week by week, I always look forward to this. You know, sometimes I'm already thinking ahead of a couple of messages in mind, and I had a few of them. I was kind of wanting to go that direction, but when I got up Monday morning, I started thinking about the one I was thinking about last Friday night. It didn't go that way. The Lord led me in this direction. I'm not sure why, but you know, the more I kept reviewing the notes throughout the week and today before the start of this, that, you know, well, you know, the Holy Spirit just does what he does. You know, that's all we can say. Amen. I mean, he just led me in that direction, and he just told me to go this way. You know, and this is all I do. You know, okay, Lord, I don't understand it, but if this is how you're leading me, there must be a reason. Sometimes the message for me, folks, I don't know about you, but it is for me, right? Can I get an amen on this one? At least somebody can say, yeah, you know, sometimes that message for me, Jim, you know. But anyway, when I started this, and I was thinking, collecting my thoughts, and a lot of times I write things down when I'm praying, because I got a little tablet by my bed, and, you know, when I'm praying, you know, some thoughts come to mind, I write them down, I review it later. So when I was writing this message, and I'm sure that maybe a lot of you can relate to this too, when I was writing this message, I was thinking, and I was giving thoughts to what's going on around us today. With all the news media that I'm sure that we're all being exposed to, with all the news media, what they've been saying on TV, and with all the people that we've been talking to within our own community, has been focused on the talks about this virus thing, and that's what they're engaged with. It's just, I just say I can't help it, but every time you turn around, it's COVID-19, 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 19-19, virus, death, dying people say, you know, and I feel sorry, you know, it's happening. But that's what seemed like everybody's focused on. So, you know, and I started thinking about this, you know, and I started thinking about, you know, hey, I gave some thoughts to the years of dealing with this chat room. I gave some thoughts of all my years in ministry since I surrendered to it. I even gave thoughts to the real life ministries that I am involved with. And one thing that ran into my mind when preparing for this is with my talks with people and all these cases I've been involved with here on online ministries, real life ministries, through emails, phone calls, Skype, everything else. This is one thing that came to my mind, that many Christians are focused on something else or someone else, or their focus has been on what other people in the past has done to them. And many of them are engrossed into the hurts, the pain, the harm, or the wrong that was done to them. And many of my talks with people in this chat and talks with real life ministries, that when I talk to them, they are refusing to let it go. They're refusing to let it go. And all they do when I talk to them, and I'm not trying to say this in a bad way, but folks, you know, I don't know why I'm going this direction. It's just what was placed on my heart. But all my talks with people throughout the years of my ministry, when I talk to them about situations, the problem I run into a lot with many, they are refusing to let it go. And all they keep doing is focusing on something that has happened years and years and years ago. Bottom line, they are refusing to let it go and only concerned, or better yet, focused on what they did rather than seeking peace they need in their lives. And now I'm starting to ask that question. Do you have peace? And some of them are paused a little bit. It's, well, no, Brother Jim, not really. Then I usually go deeper and say, well, why not? You know, I'm trying to get the folks to think, you know, if you don't have your peace, if your joy has been taken away from you, something's wrong. Who stole it? Who took it? Could it have been the enemy? Or could it be you? And believe it or not, folks, a lot of us are at fault of losing our joy because we're the ones causing it. May sound a little hard to you tonight, and it may sound like I'm going to step on some toes, but I'm going to shoot you straight line facts. You know why I'm saying this? Because I've done it myself. I stole my own joy. That's right. Satan didn't have to do nothing. He didn't even have to lift a finger. I was causing some of the problems. And yet, you know, when I talk to people and they're always constantly bringing up something of the past, the past, the past, the past. Folks, the past is irrelevant. You need to focus on the here and now. And folks, I'm sorry to say this, but if this is one of you falling into this category, then my friends, you need to let it go and quit focusing on the past and move on with your lives and get rid of the lack of unforgiveness you have in the person or persons who may have done you wrong. And what you need to do, what you need to do is what Jesus told Peter to do. And we all need to take a lesson from this or learn from what Jesus told him to do. Focus on him and not them. Again, let me repeat that. Focus on Jesus and not them. And this is why in tonight's message I was led this direction. And I think when this is done, you may have a better understanding of where we're going. So those of you who have your Bibles, and it will be posted for you tonight here in the room, we're going to John chapter 21. And we're going to be starting with verse 21 through 23. John chapter 21, verse 21 through 23. It's almost a tongue twister, isn't it? But starting with verse 21, it said, Peter seeing him and said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then the saying went on among the brethren, that is, this disciple would not die. And yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus. Father, first of all, I ask of you to forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. I ask of you to forgive me where I have missed the mark. Father, I'm striving to be more like your son each and every day. And far be it for me to dare call myself trying to be perfect. I'm not. But yet, I'm learning and growing. So that's why I come to you all the time to seek your forgiveness where I have missed that mark, where I have done something wrong, where I have not been pleasing to you because my focus sometimes has been on other things besides your heaven, your kingdom, your will. And I got a bad habit of doing that sometimes, Lord. And that's why I ask of you to strengthen me. Give me the courage, the wisdom I need. Direct me and show me what to do. And Father, a lot of times we all got a bad habit. We place our main focus on something else besides your son, Jesus. So I ask of you to be with us tonight for this short little time. I ask of you to anoint those who are here. Again, God, they could have been elsewhere. They took the time to get in this chat, to listen to this message. And I ask of you, put a protective hedge around them. Guard them in these trying times. And Father, we need not be afraid. You got this under control. We're going to rest in that and take comfort in that. So Father, we want to honor you. We want to be pleasing to you. We want to give everything to you, and we want to glorify your name and further your kingdom. It's not about us. It's all about you. We praise you, glorify you, and give everything to you. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. So y'all seen in the message, you know, with the automated bot, you know, that's what we call it. The title of this message tonight, my friends, is Our Main Focus. And as we just read in these scriptures, and we look at the passage right there, it's on the screen, and we review what's really going on here. What is the scene? You know, you just try to imagine if you're looking at them, let's just say we're time travelers or something, we'll go back and we watch what's taking place at this particular time. And we start to look at it, and we're thinking to ourselves, what's really going on here? Well, for us to get a proper understanding of what those passages we just read is telling us, let's do a little review. Let's jump right back to John 21, 22. And that's what caught my eye for this message tonight. And look what it said. Now, this is Jesus himself saying to him, and we know who he's talking to. He's talking to Peter. And he tells him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Now, you jump to 21:23. Then the saying went out among the brethren, that is, this disciple would not die. And yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I remain till I come, again, here we go, folks, what is that to you? Now, take note here, my friends, you know, when you look at this. Look at those two verses, back to back. Jesus told Peter this key part. If you pay attention to the main, what I call the main meat of those scriptures. This is what Jesus focused in, and this is what Jesus told Peter. Dude, I'm paraphrasing this a little bit. Dude, I'm telling you what to do. But apparently you're such a hard-headed fool, you're not listening. We all know Peter was kind of stubborn. A lot of times Peter put his foot in his mouth. We know that. But this is what Jesus is basically telling him, dude, pay attention. I'm telling you what to do. Apparently, you're not listening. Here, I'm going to tell you again. What is that to you? And this is what Jesus is telling Peter. Frankly, my friends, in other words, what he is saying here, it's none of our business what others do. Ding, 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 ding. That's what he's telling us. It's none of our business what others do. Our main focus should be squarely on Jesus Christ and no one else or nothing else. Jesus himself. Follow him. And the reason I say this, and the reason Jesus told him that is, when a person has settled the matter of whatever it was, then he or she is ready to live and serve and move on. You get what I'm saying? When you settle in your heart to settle the issue, whatever it is, and you're ready to serve him, then you can move on. Now, we, or I'm sure some of us here tonight, I might be kind of giving away my age, but, you know, hey, I do watch these type shows. But I'm sure some of us here tonight has probably watched the movie Frozen. And in the song, the main character sings, she sings the song called Let It Go. And let's look at one part of the lyrics in that song that she sings. And this is what she said. And I'm not going to try to imitate her, you know, far be it. I can't sing like that. So if I did, I would run y'all out this room real quick. But notice what she sang in that song when she was singing, let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away and slam the door. Hey, that was my best imitation, okay? But that's what she said. Let it go. Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go. Let it go. Turn away and slam the door. I like that. Because in other words, my friends, turn away and slam the door and do as our Lord's words says, follow me. And like you and me, we must do as Peter did, because it might have brought new joy and love to Peter's heart, and it can do the same for you and the same for us if you would simply just let it go. If you would just let it go. Whoever done you wrong, whoever slandered your name, whoever talked behind your back, whoever, whatever, 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 whatever. Folks, if you want peace in your life, you got to let it go. Because you're causing your own problems. You're causing yourself to lose your joy. You are causing yourself to lose peace. And straight up, and y'all know me, a few of you who knows me for a long time, I don't beat around the bushes in my messages, far be it from that. I'm not going to sit here and preach a feel-good message to you. I'm not going to sit here and try to blow smoke up your backsides. I preach it as it is. And straight up, my friends, Jesus said, keep on following me. And immediately, Peter began to follow Jesus. Boy, he straightened up real quick. Just as he'd done before his great denial. Now, however, for a moment, if you keep reading, what did Peter do? Peter took his eyes off the Lord. A mistake that he had made at least two other times. Here's the first one that he made in Luke chapter 5, verse 8. This is the first time that Peter has taken his eyes off the Lord. In Luke chapter 5, verse 8. Look what it says. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You see, after the first great catch of fish, Peter took his eyes off the Lord and he looked at himself. The second time he did this, it's in Matthew chapter 14, verse 30. Matthew 14, 30, which said this. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. See, once again, when he was walking on the stormy sea with Jesus, Peter looked away from the Lord, and he began to look at the wind and the waves, and immediately he began to sink. Also, we know once again, and we know this, folks, from the Bible, once again, Peter would turn away from the Lord. And we know that scene in the courtyard. Jesus even told him, "You will deny me 3 times before the night's over with." And look, Peter says again, "Oh, no, Lord, never, not me, no way, Jose." And yes, he did. To use my friend's question, or his favorite saying, what is the bottom line here? What is the brass tacks question? What am I saying right now at this particular point? What I'm trying to tell you, my friends, it is dangerous to look at the circumstances instead of looking to the Lord. It is dangerous to look at the circumstances instead of looking to the Lord. So why did Peter look away from his Lord and start to look back at the passage in John that we just read earlier? Why did he do that? Well, the first time he did it, but the second time he did it again. The second time, why? Very simple. He heard somebody walking behind him. It was the Apostle John, who was also following Jesus. And Peter did a foolish thing and asked Jesus, "What shall this man do?" In other words, "Lord, you just told me what's going to happen to me. You just told me how I'm going to die. You just told me everything that was going to happen. Okay, what will happen to John?" Boy, he put a demand on the Lord, didn't he? And notice what happened next. The Lord rebuked Peter and reminded him his job was to follow him, not meddle into the lives of other believers. In other words, he's telling Peter again, "Dude, you better mind your own business. Follow me." Folks, beware when you get your eyes off the Lord and start to look at other Christians or even other people or what they have done to you. Be aware of that. Be warned of that. And saying all this, again, what should be our main focus? Can somebody really type that real fast? What should be our main focus? Jesus. It's looking unto Jesus. That's why I played that song earlier. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. It should be looking unto Jesus. It should be the aim and practice of every believer here tonight. And it should be the aim and practice of every believer who is listening to this message. Why I'm saying this again? Folks, again, I'm showing you the Word of God. Look what Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2 says about this. And it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great of a cloud of a witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance that the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." In other words, to be distracted by ourselves, our circumstances, or by other Christians, of what they do or have done, is to disobey the Lord and possibly get detoured out of the will of God. Whew. Wow. harsh, isn't it? You allow yourself to get distracted by your circumstances or what other people have done to you and keep bringing it up and let that become your primary focus, you can very well possibly derail yourself or detour yourself out of God's will. Think about that one. Keep your eyes of faith on Him and Him alone and no one else. Him and Him alone and no one else. Now you might be, if you got a facial expression, we all have cameras right now, you might be thinking, man, Jim, you realize what you're saying? Yes, I do. Now, this does not mean that, hey, it does not mean that we ignore others. Don't get me wrong. Because we do have a responsibility of caring for one another. We should pray for one another. Why I say this? Simple. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 says this. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And it says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let something be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That's a lot right there, isn't it? But it's true. And rather, this means, folks, that we must not permit our focus to be on others. Let me make this clear. That passage is telling us we must not permit our focus to be on others to distract us from following the Lord. Very simple. God has a plan for us. He also has a plan for our Christian friends and associates, and even those who have may caused you some hurt or harm or even pain. He has a plan for them too. How? Easily. He works in their lives. He does what he does. He uses them like he wants. And bottom line, folks, that's his business only and not ours. We need to quit meddling with them. We need to quit clinging on to the past. We need to quit clinging on to what so-and-so said about me, what so-and-so did about me, how so-and-so hurt me, or whatever, whatever, whatever. Folks, I don't care. God has a plan for everything, and he even uses people like that that were placed in your lives. And what you got to do, let it go. And focus on him to get your peace, your joy, your happiness, your fulfillment. And our business is to follow him as he leads us. Why I say this? Again, look at Romans chapter 14, verses 8 through 13. That's a lot of reading. Gonna have to make fun of me. Oh, Jim's gonna have to drink a lot of water after this. But it's Romans chapter 14, verses 8 through 13. And it says, for if we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whatever we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this then Christ died and rose again and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow down to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or to cause to fall in our brother's way. That's a lot. So with that, the passage that we just read, what am I telling you here tonight? What am I saying? Well, for one thing is truth. For one thing is truth. The truth of the matter is, if we place our focus upon the past or what people has done in the past and keep telling others the same thing over and over and over of what this person did to me or what that person has done, then the real truth is you're not willing to follow Jesus. Let me repeat that. It might come as a shocker to you. But if you keep bringing up the past of what somebody has done to you over and over and over and over again, you're not willing to follow Jesus. And yes, like I said, this may shock you. It may even upset you. But the deal is, folks, it is the truth. You're not wanting to follow Jesus. That's what it's boiling down to. And why have I said this? Well, it's because of the explicit logic and specific words of Mark chapter 8, verse 34, which says, Mark chapter 8, verse 34, and it said that when he called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. This leaves very little doubt about what Jesus was focusing on when he said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He left no wiggle room in that, none. He's flat out telling you straight up, you better deny yourself and take up my cross and follow me. You see, when writing this, I myself was reminded of this fact when I went to examine myself in prayer and going through this period of worrying about other people's business, or what they did to me, or what they were saying about me, or even saying about me. Even to a point, all my focus was about them instead of having my main focus placed on Jesus Christ and him alone. Bottom line, I was not pleasing God acting in this manner of not letting it go and moving on. I was killing myself, stealing my own joy, and Satan was having a field day with it. Friends, if you will not let it go, If you will not put that thing to the cross, you're not willing to follow Jesus. Haunting as it may sound, but that's the cold, hard facts. Oh, we're claiming to be Christians. Oh, I'm following Jesus. Hey, Abby, I'm still mad at so-and-so for what he did to me. He's still talking behind me in these other chat rooms. Oh, he's still sending out emails to me. Oh, I follow Jesus. No, I ain't. I'm following self. How dare we? If you're going to follow Jesus, you better let it all go. All of it. All of it. Quit hanging on to the past. Quit hanging on to whatever happened. If God is willing to forgive us of all of our sins, we should be willing to do the same for others. And look, I know forgiveness sometimes is a hard thing to do. It's hard to forget. But you must forgive yourself first in order to forgive them. And then you must let it go in order to move forward and follow Christ. Because he will take care of it. Just as I just told you, that's God's business of how he handles other people. And if you're not willing to do that, you're not willing to please him. You're not willing to move on. You're willing to kill your own self. You're willing yourself out of the will of God. Oh, it's a hard message tonight, my friends, especially for me. And in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. We are to be shameful to worry about other people's business or what they are doing or even listen to such silly gossip about them or others or even us doing the same with others. Now, I had to make a hard decision today. I had to ban a person from this room. The person was in the room trash talking somebody else in another chat room somewhere. I was not going to tolerate it. We as Christians should not be doing that. When I went to explain to the person, hey, take a look at our site rules. We are not to slander, bash, gossip, or even launch personal attacks against other people. Because we as Christians, we as followers of Christ, should not be doing that. And that person boldly told me, I'm not bowing down to your rules. Well, then you're not willing to follow Jesus. That's right. You're not willing to follow Jesus. That's not who we are, my friends. That's not what we should be. We are followers of Christ. How about we start acting like it for once? Another fact is, we should not bicker and fight of such things. We should not hold grudges against one another. Woe to us. Woe to us. Woe to me. This is really is a sad state if we as believers fall into this trap and that pit. Shame on us. Shame on us. Our main focus and our eyes should squarely be placed on Jesus Christ and forget about the other things that pulls our eyes and ears away from Jesus. But the Lord that day tenderly rebuked me. Oh, he chastised me all right. He rebuked me very, very good. And flat out he told me, what is that to you, Jimmy? What is that to you? Now you think tonight and listen to this very carefully. And you place your name in this slot just like I did mine. What is that to you, Jimmy? What is that to you? Place your name in the slot. Because what Jesus is telling us, follow me. And what is that to you? It's none of your business. Let me handle it. And let me make it clear what's at stake here. Please, let me make it clear. Jesus mentions, and this is what's kind of, I ain't gonna lie to you, it kind of, it struck me very hard. But what Jesus is saying right here, what he's saying, what's at stake? He mentions the glory of his Father and the holy angels. In this life, if you refuse to let it go and take up the cross of shame and suffering because you preferred the glory of man, then you're not willing to follow him into that glory. Then what Jesus does is rubs in the utter insanity of this by pointing out that the audience you are trying to impress is an adulterous and sinful generation. You are choosing to forsake Jesus in order to gain the approval of another person rather than you placing your focus on Jesus. My dear friends, my brothers and sisters, if this is you, then that will prove to be a catastrophic exchange. Because in the end, you will forfeit the greatest glory imaginable, the glory of God. The greatest acclamation imaginable. The joy of a million sinless angels. In the end, that forfeit is what it means to lose your soul. And to me, because like I said a little bit earlier, I was in that pit. I allowed myself to be consumed by previous events, past hurts and pains, what people were saying, what people were doing. My focus was not on Christ. My focus was on self and the audience I was talking to. It was the message that I needed. And the rest of us should heed to this rebuke from our Lord Jesus Christ. Shame on us for such petty things and looking at others. Shame on us. Yes, I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself on this. I'm taking it seriously now. And others should do the same to themselves. The sad reality here, and I hate to say it like this, the sad reality here, more problems are caused by confused saints than by lost sinners. Let that sink in. More problems are caused by us, so-called followers of Jesus. What kind of message that sends to the world? What is that really saying about Jesus? What is that saying about us? What it's doing is misinterpreting the Word of God. And it only creates misunderstanding about God's people and God's plans for His people. That's what it's doing. And remember, folks, the word witness, it is a key theme in the Gospel of John. You read and study John very carefully. That's the key theme in the Gospel of John, witness. The word is used 47 times. So should we be doing the same instead of focusing on such petty things of what others do or have done or what they should be doing or what we say about each other? Should we be doing that? No. And I was trying to explain that to that person today. But immediately, I'm not bowing down to that. I'm leaving this place. And I'm not going to mention what was said in direct message. And I was like, wow. They're not following Jesus. What you and I should be doing, we should be placing our eyes squarely on Jesus Christ Himself and not what other people are doing. Remember, Jesus is transforming lives today. Wherever He finds a believer who is willing to yield to His will, listen to His word, and follow His way, He begins to transform that believer and accomplish remarkable things in that person's life. And He also begins to do wonderful things throughout that person's life once we let it go. Once we let it go. Place your main focus on Jesus and no one else. Amen. Let's pray.